Well, this morning we need to be encouraged and reminded of the great truth of the gospel. So what we're going to do is think about three simple questions. We're going to think about these questions. What happens when I die? How can I be sure? And why am I still alive today? What happens when I die? How can I be sure? And what should I do with my life today? And what we're going to do is we're going to look back at a bit of the Bible that we looked at about a month ago. I remember as I was preaching, kind of looking at Dave Cave and just thinking, this is your life, and felt like it really echoed the way that he'd lived his life. So we're going to turn to Philippians chapter 1, a bit of the Bible that was Paul's life motto, and I think it's fair to say it was Dave's as well. So we're going to look at Philippians chapter 1, which is on page 1178 in the church Bibles. So page 1178. I'm going to look at Philippians chapter 1, and I'll read from verse 21. Okay. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labour for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it's more necessary for you that I remain in the body. So first question, what happens when we die? As a culture, we don't like thinking or talking about death. We try and fill our lives with stuff so that we can ignore and avoid death. But the reality is, that doesn't stop it from happening. Medical advances have extended life, but no one lives forever. In the end, every doctor loses every patient. Eventually, you and everyone you know will die. Until Jesus returns, every life on this earth ends in death. So it's a very, very important question to answer. What happens when we die? Is that it? Do we cease to exist? Is that the end of your story if you're a Christian? Well, no. Look at that passage again. Paul explains that death is a doorway into joy. Dave's death isn't the end of his story. It's just the end of the first chapter of a very long book. Death for a believer means departing this world to be with Jesus. Do you see that again? Verse 21. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I'm to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labour for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far, but it's more necessary for you that I remain in the body. The Apostle Paul and Dave, who sat there last week, had had their lives transformed by Jesus. They turned from their sin and turned back to God. They become Christians and they lived their life for their Lord. They knew Jesus in such a way that they loved him and they longed to be with him. Their lives were caught up with Jesus. He was their treasure, the thing of ultimate value and worth in their lives. That's why Paul could write verse 21. For to me, to live is Christ. The best thing in my life is Jesus. So to die is not a tragic ending of me losing out on all the great stuff that I used to enjoy when I was alive. No, to die for a Christian is gain. It's the start of something even better, because if I die, I depart and I go to be with Jesus. I see him face to face. The amazing truth is that Dave is more alive now than he ever was here on earth. He is face to face with his Lord. Every Christian senses the truth of verse 21. To live is Christ. Yeah, we get caught up with all other stuff, don't we? Other stuff gets in the way, and we forget how great Jesus really is. It's really easy for us to think, oh, for me to live is, I don't know, to have a family, or to have a certain relationship or a certain type of job. But when a Christian steps back and takes stock, we realise the best thing about my life is that Jesus is my Lord. And one thing that Dave has taught me his life is that as we mature as Christians, as we mature in the faith, we see verse 21 more and more clearly that to live is Christ. As we get to know Jesus better, we realise that there is nothing and no one better than him. So before you're a Christian, Jesus is just some guy. Maybe he lived, maybe he didn't, maybe he said some nice things, but it's no big deal. But as you become a Christian, your view of Jesus changes. The Bible says it's like scales falling off from your eyes. And you see Jesus and you see his glory and you just go, wow. As you become a Christian, you realise Jesus is not just some bloke. He's the guy who could calm a storm with a word. He could heal the sick. He could raise the dead. He could forgive sin. He wasn't just some guy. He was God in skin. He's almighty, powerful God stooping down into his creation to become one of us. He's God the King. Holy. So it's vital that we respond to him properly. But not only is Jesus this really powerful person, he is filled with love and compassion. Love and compassion for sinners like me and you. In Jesus, we see that the God who rules over the universe, he sees us. He knows us. He knows our pain right now. And he wants to save us. The Bible says this about Jesus. He will not break a bruised reed. It's bent over and almost snapping. He will come and break it. When a little flame is smouldering, he will come and snuff it out. In the midst of our weakness, he loves us. The Bible says Jesus is full of grace, undeserved kindness for sinners like us. Our rebellion is against God. We've rejected him, and that deserves death and hell. But God wants none to perish. So in his amazing grace, the Lord Jesus came to put things right. See, Jesus died in my place so that I could be forgiven and go to be with him. If you were to make a film of the whole Bible, I think it would have to be a hero film, maybe even a superhero film. Because a Christian is someone who has been rescued by a mighty, powerful hero who loves them. And that experience transforms our life. Christians long and ache to be with their hero. See, contentment is found in knowing him. To live is Christ. And so to die is gain. Death is a doorway to being with Jesus. One Christian, John Newton, a long time ago wrote this. The forerunners of death are often painful and formidable. But death itself for a believer is simply shutting our eyes upon pain and temptation. And then in the next moment, opening them in the presence of Christ. To live is Christ. To die is gain. Now this morning, what I want us to do is kind of take that hope of the gospel and rub it deep into our pain, our confusion, our grief. You see, Dave's death was so sudden. And it throws up all sorts of questions. And some of those questions we're never going to be able to answer. But the Bible does tell us how we should respond to the death of a Christian. It says we should grieve with hope. We should grieve with hope. You see, we should grieve. You know, it's a real privilege that you're here today. It's great to have Gareth with us as well. And as a church, we should stand together with that family and recognise what they've lost. you lost a husband of over 40 years. You lost a great dad, a granddad. As a church, we should sympathise with them. We should mourn with them. It's right for us to listen to you and process how we can help you, just to be with you with no agenda, and just to love you. As a church, we've lost a loving church member. Dave was such a great friend to many of us. We shouldn't pretend that his death is a positive thing. It's fine for us to be sad. Being a Christian doesn't mean that we have to have a stiff upper lip. We don't need to hide emotion. We can grieve. But the Bible says we should grieve, but grieve with hope. You see, the reality is, Dave is right where he longed to be for over 50 years. He longed to be with his Lord, the Lord Jesus, the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and he is with his Father God right now. He's with the Lord Jesus, who is closer than a brother. For him, faith has become sight. He's been made holy. And when we die, or if Jesus comes back again before we do, we'll see him again. And when we see him again, he won't have a walking stick. He won't be celiac. He won't have to take any medication. Because he will get a new resurrection body. He'll still have that same big smile and that same big bear hug. We will see Dave again. What happens when we die? For a Christian, we go to be with Jesus. But how can we be sure? Dave's death, it is shocking, and it makes us ask all sorts of questions. And as we sit around, I think one of the questions that we can ask is, okay, what happens when we die? We go to be with Jesus. Yeah, great, that sounds fine. But is it really true? I was chatting to a friend this week, and he was saying that candy floss is 90% air and 10% sugar. It makes you feel good for a moment, but it's no real help. It has no substance. Is this all just empty, positive thinking? Is this kind of Christian hope just candy floss for the soul? Will it do no lasting good to us? Well, the Bible would say, no, this is not candy floss. This is steak and chips. It is bread. It is food for the soul. You see, we don't have to wish that it might be true. We can know it's true. We can know that when we die, we will be with Jesus. We can be sure. We can become convinced so that we can face our own death with hope. We can be convinced so that we can offer hope to a dying world. The question is, how can we be sure? How can we become so sure? Well, can I give you a simple answer and a longer answer? The simple answer is just five words, and the longer answer will kind of explain it. And the short answer is this. How can I be sure? Well, Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus rose from the dead. If Christian hope doesn't feel real to you at the moment, if it doesn't make sense, go back and look at the cross. Look at the resurrection. See, Jesus rose from the dead. That changes things. When God created the world, he made it good. Humans were made in his image, and that means that we were made to be like God. We were made to be immortal. We were made to live forever and ever. We were made for an eternity of enjoyment and love. We were made to be growing in our appreciation daily of how great our Creator God is. But instead of doing that, the first humans, Adam and Eve, they rejected God's rule. They disobeyed his one commandment. They rejected him as king. And God had said, if they did that, then death would enter our world. And instead of listening to God, they rejected him. God's good creation was smashed. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. The wages of our rejection of God, which we all do, is death. And when the Bible says death, it means eternal separation from God in hell. See, death is not a part of God's good design, it's an intrusion. And that's why it's always so unsettling when someone dies. They were made to live forever, and so it feels so wrong. It feels like they should still be here. Now remember, the wages of sin is death. So logically, there's only one way to not die, and that's to not sin. But the problem is, we all sin, and so we all die. But Jesus' resurrection changes everything. Remember? Wages of sin is death. But Jesus never, ever, ever sinned. So why on earth did he die? Well, the Bible says that what happened was Jesus came along and he took our sin off us and put it on himself. Jesus became sin and he was crushed and died. He takes the punishment that we deserve. The reason that Jesus died wasn't because he did anything wrong, but because he took all our sin on himself and he was crushed for it. He takes our hell. He pays for our eternal death. And 3 days later, Jesus rises from the dead. Death can't hold him. He's seen by hundreds of eyewitnesses. He really was dead. And he really was alive. See, Jesus' resurrection, it changes things for a believer. You see, death now for a believer is not eternal punishment. It's just like the Bible says, falling asleep. It's a doorway to Jesus. And one day, God will recreate this world. And he'll give all believers new resurrection bodies, like Jesus' resurrection body. The Bible says, because Jesus has been raised from the dead, he's the first fruits. And one day, the full harvest will come. Christian hope is not candy floss. It is food for the soul. So can I encourage you to feast on that? If you're not a Christian today, I know David would want me to say this. He'd want me to be clear that if you're not a Christian, you are God's enemy. You're ignoring the rescue he's offering you. And you have no hope in the face of death at the moment. Without Jesus' rescue, you face hell forever. And I long that you would turn to Jesus in repentance and faith, that you would find forgiveness. Now, if you have doubts about Christianity, that's fine. But can I urge you to come and look at the resurrection? Did Jesus rise from the dead? Because if he did, you need to respond to him. I would really urge you, if you're not a Christian today, to think about that. Did Jesus rise from the dead? Look into it. Come and talk to me, talk to Grace, talk to a Christian friend. We can give you some books to read, or we can do look at the Bible with you. We would love for you to come to faith. And if you are a Christian, and you just feel like your faith is shaky, you're struggling to kind of believe with confidence, go back to the cross and the empty grave. Read the Gospels. If Jesus didn't rise, then our faith is useless. It's kind of false. But if he did rise, which I'm convinced he did, all the evidence is there, then he is going to follow through on all his promises to his people. See, the evidence is there. Jesus was seen risen from the dead by hundreds of people. It's not the sort of story that you would have made up in a male-dominated culture to kind of make the witnesses winning. You wouldn't do that. Well, why, what on earth transformed these disciples from scared men about to run and give up to being willing to give their lives for this message? Surely, it's that Jesus died and rose again. See, what I want for all of us today is for us to grow in our conviction that we know where we're going. And the way to be convinced is to know the truth of those five words. Jesus rose from the dead. What happens when I die? We go to be with Jesus. How can I be sure? Jesus rose from the dead. Well, why am I still alive today? We'll come back and look at that passage. You might shut your Bibles. Just open them up again. We're on page 1178. We're in Philippians chapter 1. And Paul's been saying, he's been describing his life, hasn't he? And he says, for me to live is Christ. He says, there's loads of good things in this world that we could live for, but we're made for something better. We are made for something out of this world. We are made for Christ. We're made to know and enjoy him. We're made for an intimate, personal relationship with the God who loves us. Every ache and longing that we have will eventually be fulfilled in him. But if you're tracking with kind of what this passage is saying on page 1178, you might be asking this question in your head. Why am I still alive? From what Paul's saying, wouldn't it actually be better for me to die and be with Jesus? Look at verse 22. Paul, even though he feels like he wants to be Jesus, with Jesus, he knows he's got stuff to be doing. Let me read from verse 22. So Philippians chapter 1, verse 22. If I'm to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labour for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it's more necessary for you that I remain in the body, convinced of this. I know that I will remain, and I will continue with all of you for your progress and your joy in the faith. In the light of Dave's sudden death, I think we should take this call to heart. Dave knew Jesus, and he would have said, for me, to live is Christ. I bet he even said that to me after preaching this. And so what did he do? Well, he did what the Apostle Paul did, which is there in verse 25. Paul kind of is in this place where he's like, well, if I die and go be with Jesus, that's like the best thing for me. But for the moment, God is keeping me alive here. So I've got fruitful labour to do. And he describes what his fruitful labour is. And we saw it in the Apostle Paul. And we saw it in Dave's life as well. Look at verse 25. He says that he did two things at the end. He's going to continue with them all for your progress in the faith and your joy in the faith. Your progress in the faith and your joy in the faith. Dave was absolutely committed to helping people make progress in the Christian faith. He longed to sow the seed so that non-Christians could come and hear the great news of the gospel and come to faith. He wanted to help people start that journey, didn't he? And he always wanted to talk to his neighbours and people around him about his Lord Jesus. But he was also committed to making progress with helping new believers be discipled and grow and understand what it means to actually follow Jesus. What does that look like for them? He was determined to help leaders grow. I was so encouraged when him and Tina joined the church over the years of just his advice and support. He wanted to help people progress in the faith, to grow in the faith. They were the Apostle Paul. And then you've used their life to help people progress in the Christian faith. So what about you? How could this passage affect you this morning? How could you help others grow in the Christian faith? Is there someone maybe that you could start sharing the gospel with? Start sowing those seeds and making that those first few steps. Or maybe is there a new believer that you could get alongside and encourage and help out? Is there some way that you could personally grow so that you could teach others? Dave was committed to verse 25, helping people progress in the faith. But I think the main thing I'm going to miss about him was just his infectious joy in the faith. He wanted everyone to know what a great saviour he had. He was so happy with Jesus. And he wanted you to be as well. We should pray that one of his legacies to our church is that we would be a bunch of people who are committed to helping others find joy in Jesus. We should be committed to helping people progress in the faith and find joy in the faith. What a great way to live your life. As a church, we should respond in that way. We should hear that call. And as a church, we should get alongside Tina and help you. We should love you, honour you. We should be there for you as much as we can. That we might help you to progress and find joy in your faith through this really difficult time and over the years.